This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me when cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. To admit, it's getting better, a little better, all the time. Hello. And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast, focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's so great to be with you back in the KUT studios.
Welcome back. It's always great to have you here.
I'm a little disappointed that you're wearing black and silver today.
Well,
did we forget?
We did not forget. We are attending a funeral this afternoon.
Oh, no.
And so,
I'm so sorry.
All right. And so I was more dressing for the funeral than for our podcast taping. That's okay.
Oh, my.
The black at least crosses, you know, many.
It does. No, it looks very somber. You look very. Yes. Well, I hope this goes well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, that put a damper on things.
Well, you asked, and I am a forthcoming person.
Well.
So.
One can appreciate life through these changes in
this
in
is very
existence.
True. This is very true. And I want to talk to you today, actually, thinking about the span of life. There was a question that came up at a recent President's Table dinner, which listeners will know. Every student at Southwestern during their career gets to come have dinner at your house. I've been to one,
that's
and it's
right.
Students and alumni and faculty and staff. It's a great mix of people, and there's
sure.
always an intriguing question.
I don't know how intriguing, but there's always
well,
a question. There's
sort
always
of
a question.
Tossed out for discussion, and you tossed out one recently that I think is also a great episode topic. And here was the question: what would surprise you about yourself 25 years after graduation? So you were asking students, you know, imagine yourself at your 25th reunion. What do you think life is going
to
be like?
Exactly. And which for them would be in 2045.
Oh,
whoa. Which is kind of interesting to think about, but it's true. You know, these questions are always inspired by whatever's in my head at the time of the dinner. And I just that weekend was at an opening of a gallery exhibit, of a photographic gallery exhibit from an alum, Tom Morin, a class of 1994, and this was his 25 years later, 25th reunion, and he was sharing photographic works. He's a professional photographer, and he was sharing photographic works from his time at Southwestern all the way up to the present.
Oh, wow.
And you see this change, and his style of photography changed dramatically, where he was surprised at the way he was looking at the world of the photographic arts now than he was when he was 21. And that inspired the question about what could you imagine? I mean, it's hard to imagine in the future something about you that would surprise you. So basically saying, what's something that you could imagine and dream about doing, but you really don't think you would do in practice?
Well, yeah, I was actually going to say a sort of an interesting way to flip that question is to say, what's something that like really scares you or something you don't think you could see yourself doing that if you were doing it, it would surprise you?
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to solicit. But I think the interesting question for all of us, and we could think about this in a span of 5 years or maybe even a year, although that seems a little small, but 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you know, 25 years, you know, what would we like to do? What would we dream of doing? And then are there actionable steps to see if that's possible, if that's realistic, if that's something that would be appealing to you? And pursue that, because that's the joy of life. I mean, I hate to bring this up, but you know, you are going to a funeral, and I think it's a time to also celebrate life when we see these moments of transition. And so are there things that we're leaving on the table? And let's not leave them on the table. When people go to our funeral, let's say we left it all on the field, we lived this full life, and you know, so even the surprising things we've tried.
So what would you say to students? Because I think it's especially interesting to think about students trying to answer this question. So if they're graduating, let's say, from college or from high school, so they're 18, 19, early 20s, and life has been a lot about school and a lot about sort of a fairly
you know, regular schedule and not a lot of wiggle room sometimes. How do you get them to start even imagining those possibilities or start thinking about what life might be like or what those things are that would surprise them?
I think it's really hard at the end of one's high school career because of exactly what you said. And also we feel external pressure from our families. Oh, you're going to be pre-med, pre-law, pre-business, you know, and so forth. Or internal pressure from us. I want to be a blank. And the idea of opening your mind up, especially, you know, when you're in high school, we're so awkward, we're so, you know, self-conscious of everything, that it's often hard to kind of unlock the shackles that we ourselves often confine ourselves within. But I think that after 4 years of college, you're in a little bit better position. I don't think you're in perfect position because you've just got to kind of live a life and get banged up and bumped a little bit and also kind of be more comfortable in your own skin to actually start to think about these things for real. But that was what I was trying to provoke with these seniors at this dinner, which was, you know, now that you've explored, you know, the liberal arts and sciences and you've seen different types of courses and you've been uncomfortable, you know, dream with me.
So I'm curious, what were some of the answers that you got from students at that dinner when you posed this question?
It was really interesting to see the kind of span of that, going from one person saying, "I'd be surprised if I have children," which was really interesting because as this person continued to reflect, it was clear the person wants children. But the person wasn't sure if they'd be responsible enough to be a good parent.
Interesting.
Because this person was saying that's the most important thing that we can do is to, you know, make, you know, produce another generation that would be even better than our generation. And I don't know if I can do that, but I really want to. So that was kind of an interesting surprise. There was someone who was talking about how they are in education and wonders if, you know, will they still be teaching and will they be able to sustain that for 25 years? There was someone else who said that they dislike children. And so the surprise would be to be working with children. So there was a lot of children, which was interesting. And then people were just thinking about their own selves and stretching. One person talked about how they really are not good at art. So 25 years, if they were doing something that was artistic, that would be a surprise, which to me was one of these examples where maybe that person really wants to do art but doesn't feel confident. So things of that sort I found really thought-provoking. It was kind of a neat conversation.
Well, you know what's really interesting about this question as you're talking? There's nothing in the question about good or bad or happy or sad, but I read the question as what would surprise me about myself in a positive way, like,
right. Oh,
I would have learned this, or oh, I would have traveled here, oh, I would have done this.
Right.
It didn't even occur to me to think about negative things that might have happened. Did anybody respond that way? Or does everybody sort of bring that kind of positivity in what really actually is lifelong learning?
Right, exactly.
Is what it sounds like most people are bringing to this question.
It was slanted more to the positive, which is how I intended as well. But what I really like, Jennifer, about what you're suggesting is that thinking about the other side of life's coin has the feature that maybe we could imagine, for example, you know, I'm kind of an introvert, so maybe in 25 years I'd be this hermit. And then to say, okay, so then what do I need to do to make sure that doesn't happen is a really important question of looking at the opposite scenario. So even though that didn't come up, I think it's very thought-provoking, and I'm glad that you're sharing that with our listeners because that's, I think, something worth thinking about. How can we go to the dark side, and then what can we do with intentionality to make sure we avoid that?
To sort of not go down that road.
If that's something we don't want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have something that might surprise me a week from now.
That might surprise you a week from now. Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, about myself, that I will have gotten the puzzler correct.
Well, why would that be surprising? We expect that from you, Jennifer.
Oh,
in fact,
well, you talked about pressure. Hold on. Wait a minute.
But in fact, I want to tell you and our listeners that because you are so annoyingly good, I deliberately have a really challenging one for you and our listeners this week.
Okay.
Really challenging.
Lay it on me.
I will say that I found this on the internet.
Uh-oh.
And I've never heard this question before.
Now, you know, you can't believe everything you find on the internet. Are you sure this one is legit?
I don't know if it's legit or not, but I sat down and I worked it out myself.
Oh, okay.
And I'm able to do it. But it's,
if you vetted it, then it's
a
okay.
It's a little bit more mathy in numbers.
Okay.
You don't need any algebra, but you've got to think it's mathy.
Mathy, okay.
And so I had no problem with it, of course. Although I did make a mistake the first time I tried to do it.
Uh-oh.
So I had to do it twice.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So here is the challenge. So we have a regular deck of playing cards.
Okay.
52 cards.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And some small number of cards have been removed or lost, you know, from the deck. So it's no longer a complete deck. Do you follow me?
Yes.
So some small number of cards have been lost. Now, if it turns out that if I deal the remaining cards to four people and keep dealing them out, I'll be left with three cards remaining that I can't deal out because everyone's going to have the same number of cards.
Right.
So I have three left over. It turns out if I take that same incomplete deck and I deal it amongst three people evenly, then I have two cards remaining.
Okay.
And finally, if I deal this incomplete deck amongst five people evenly, then again I have two cards remaining. So let me say that one more time. So if I deal out this incomplete deck among four people evenly, I'm left with three cards left over. If I do the exact same thing with the same incomplete deck with three people, I have two cards left over.
Okay.
And if I actually do the exact same thing with the same incomplete deck with five people, giving each the same number of cards, I have two cards remaining.
Just like you did when you dealt to three people.
Correct. And the question is, how many cards are there in this incomplete deck?
Okay.
It is just the joy of numbers.
Okay.
Look at that sigh. Now, why would you sigh to our listeners?
Because
we want math to be joyful and fun and uplifting, and challenges are good.
It's
Don't
all of
sigh.
Those things. I'm sighing because sometimes these sort of pop into my head right away.
Well, I deliberately designed one that's
I
not going to pop into your head.
Now, just one clarifying question.
Anything you'd like.
Are we including jokers or not?
No, 52.
52.
So we start with 52.
Standard 52. Okay.
Start with 52.
Okay.
And there's no jokers.
Okay.
This is not a joking puzzler.
Okay.
This is serious.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right.
And 25 years from now, we'll see if you have the solution.
It may take me that long to get it, but I only have a week.
But you'd be surprised, you see, to not have it solved in 25 years.
I will. Yeah, I would be surprised
there
to not
go.
Have it solved in 25 years.
There you
so,
go.
So, Ed, as we talk about this sort of question about 25 years or even 5 or 10 years from now and what might surprise us about ourselves or thinking about that, is there something that we can take from, I guess I'm thinking more formal education, but even informal education, lifelong learning, are there tools we can extract from that to help us think about this? I mean, in other words, is there a way that we can draw on our education to date to help us think about and imagine and envision what that future might be?
We are human beings. And as a result, we come to every issue with preconceived notions. We have our own internal guesses, which really, at the end of the day, are really bias and prejudice. And we come to every single issue with kind of a working hypothesis. And it's through effective thinking and through effective learning that we can try to overcome those biases and see things beyond. And that includes ourselves. And so we are all biased about our individual selves. Oh, I am supposed to do this, or I'm good at that, and I'm not good at art, or whatever it is. And so to overcome that bias, that internal bias about you, and to say, well, maybe I can be an artist, is an open-minded attitude, which education that's focusing on personal intellectual growth should be offering. So yeah, if we are open to effective thinking, then we should be open to surprising ourselves.
Dr. Ed Berger, thank you for helping us open our minds. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can read more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten, KUT News.